Go, 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 go.
Yeah, we're live. And let's just think about some music as well. What are we playing with my dulcet tones in the background, perhaps? This is... This is the DS106 Good Spell, futzing splendidly since 2013 on the DS106 Radio for Life. This is one of 106 bullets from the blog post 106, published by the DS106 Strike at 106 AM. On Tumblr at the end of the Headless 13 run of DS106. Our hashtag tonight and every night is #106spell. This is gospel jazz for the DS106 generation. Mantras and koans that explore the open online course Digital Storytelling 106. Meditations and rambles about education and openness. Open education, art, fun and learning. I'm John Johnson, and with me as usual is Mariana Fiss. Good evening, Mariana.
Good evening, John. I am so excited that I can hear everything that's going on. The music is happening, everything. I just can't believe it.
So we'll just fade gently out and get back to our usual excited selves. That's cool. Thank you very much to Viv for posting that to SoundCloud. I think she made it today, and we grabbed it, presumably because I haven't looked, but presumably because it has a suitable license for sharing, because Viv is an open educator. Thank you, Viv. Anyway, Mariana, tonight we are on episode 2 of the final run of DS106, Good Spell.
Yep.
This show, like every other show in the final series, has got a title. And the title tonight is Quality Feedback Online. And the bullet point it comes from is feedback is hard in this setting, giving and getting.
Yep. I think this would be 96, going from our episode last week, from the thing. But you like your numbers, I just thought I'd say that.
Yeah.
Feedback. But we are doing this differently today, aren't we?
Yeah, because usually at feedback we dive into a deep despondency. But
go on.
We've been thinking, I think, a bit more positively about feedback. We always talk about how difficult it is, but there's been a couple of nice things online recently which remind us that you can give good feedback. It's good to give good feedback, and there's lots of nice things we can do. Yeah. So do you want to just have a wee chat about the bullet when you wrote it at first, what you were thinking about?
Well, I think it's a theme that we have gone around and come back around quite a few times during our conversations, and it is this balance, isn't it? We want to give it, we want to do it as a sort of quality thing as best we can, and finding time is always it's not always easy. So all of these things we've always talked about. The thing you mentioned, one of the, so at the time, what I was thinking is, what is the best way to do it, particularly when part of what we are trying to do is to build relationship, and you want to be able to say to people, what is it that you think about their work, and be as honest and open as you can. That is sometimes difficult, I think, when you lack the kind of sometimes the background, the context in which they've created the thing. But because it's part of a course, part of our job, I guess, as I see it, is often around how we give feedback in order that all of us can get better at what we're doing. So that's what I was thinking at the time. And then as we go through, I guess we'll talk about the more current things. My revolutionary thought about trying to be utopian and not dystopian today.
Mm. Yeah, well, we didn't get any feedback about being negative, but we'll take that as read, I think. So, So there's a couple of links that you popped into to our show notes, and one is from our very own Sandy Brown Jensen, who, in response to Daily Create, a week or so ago maybe.
Yes, I shall. I've got the link open here. It was TDC 1703, and the question was: Are you the greater self or the lesser self today? And it was in response to that question that she addressed the sort of feedback and how to offer the, you know, work with people's blog posts. And she did a lovely image with the sort of, you know, the black angel and the dark angel, and how, you know, faced with a blog post, what could we do? Do you want to read with your wonderful accent both of those?
You just
or do you want me to? Do you want me to?
Go for it. You just want to hear me try to say there you go.
Okay, I'll do it. So the image basically says, you know, there is the kind of lesser self and the greater self, two things that we could choose to do in the context of offering feedback on a blog post. So I just read a good blog post. I thought a couple of random thoughts, but I need to move on. I could say something, but that would take time. And I'd be judged on, and what if I disagree? I wouldn't want to hurt their feelings. Oh, there's a cat video. Let's look at that now. Not surprisingly, that's the Black Angel speaking. Or we could, that was an interesting blog post. I can tell the writer took a lot of care with it. I believe in the spirit of reciprocity, so I'll take 10 minutes to leave a thoughtful reply, whether I agree with the writer or not. For that is the essence of... Where am I? I've lost my thing because I couldn't see on the thing. Give me a minute. For that is the essence of humanism, to acknowledge the efforts of others, to exchange ideas, and be the richer for it. Then I will video my own cat. She'll enjoy the attention.
Yeah.
That's lovely. I haven't seen, you know how on Twitter sometimes you don't get the whole image.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen that ending. Brilliant. Okay, so that's the Black Angel and the White Angel. Today we're focused on the White Angel.
What
do you think of that then?
I mean, I think it's a great point. And we were talking earlier about leaving tabs open, as you do when you're warming up the radio pipes. And I quite often leave tabs open or star something in my RSS reader that I want to comment on. And it's not so much the time, it's sometimes I worry about, is this worth doing, or am I just saying I like this? And it's nice to get a like, but I want to say something a bit more connected. So sometimes I take a day or two or three or a week to post a comment on something. But it really does get to the heart of the sort of feedback we're looking for in a connective, a community course. Like DS106, is that you need to give each other feedback, and we need to take the time to do it. And I guess everybody learns from that. You learn, because actually forming a thought and a comment is probably better than than just liking and moving on, you know. And it's like writing a blog post. It's a way you reflect on others, somebody else's learning. You'll learn from that as well, I guess.
Well, it makes one stop. If you are going to write something down, write a comment, and want to offer some good quality feedback, it makes one stop, look at it again, read it again, think about, you know, how does it compare or not compare with other things you've seen people do. Note, you know, if people themselves are thinking, actually, if I were to do it again, this is what I would do. And once you've done all of that, then you have a thoughtful view that you can then write in a comment. And I think, you know, it does allow that. It's better in that sense. We learn because we take time to process what it is that we're looking at, and hopefully then other people can improve from the comments that we make. I think that's what's lovely about it when it works well.
And even in the darker angel that Sandy's got, she said, and what if I disagree? I wouldn't want to hurt their feelings. And I think, again, there's a... You know, people are... I guess because in many ways you're not face-to-face with somebody, if you've been on the internet for, you know, more than 10 minutes, you realise that it's possible to hurt somebody's feelings by mistake. And so you're a bit sensitive about that. So I think you need to throw that into the mix. And I suppose as well, if you're giving good feedback, you've got to give feedback that is accessible by the person you're giving it to. You know, that will make a difference.
Yeah, that they can hear, because of course that's the other thing, isn't it? That it sometimes
it's possible to them, you know. You know, if I put something up on a DS106 blog, say a wee tune that I have made in GarageBand by clicking do this automatically, and somebody feeds back, you know, you better get out your guitar, John. That's not much use to me, because one, I don't have a guitar, and two, if I did, I wouldn't be able to do anything with it. You know, I'm not ready for that feedback. The feedback's got to be such that it is in my zone of possibilities.
And I think that's kind of, you know, David has just tweeted that, you know, it occurs to him that, you know, different blog situations, relationships have different feedback norms. And I think that is true. Some of the things that I might feel okay to say to you about, you know, well, try it this way or do that. Oh, I like it best without this, because I've known you for a long time. Mm. I might not feel okay. It wouldn't be appropriate for me to say to somebody who is just starting, who I don't know and who does not know me. So, of course, we gauge how we balance the stuff that's this is how you could change it versus, you know, actually it's just great. We gauge that based on the situation, what we know of people, and how well we know them to be able to say, you know, I think this would look better or sound better, or have you thought about X or Y. In an ideal world, I suppose you'd argue, well, you know, if you make the feedback as neutral as possible, as actionable as possible, it should never be something that offends people. But we don't, you know, human beings are not like that, not so precise.
No, I mean, in the best meant feedback can be taken, really. I mean, I'm sure I've done that myself, as I've got upset because somebody suggests something sometimes, and I think, oh, right.
How dare you suggest that I do it that way? That was probably me. I left it on your blog post saying, no, put it there, bring it here.
But, you know, I mean, and we've always, I suppose, got to, in giving and setting feedback, this that bit that Sandy says about taking time, I think is really important, and it's taking time to write the feedback, but it's probably taking time to read the feedback as well. You know, and let it sit. Maybe, and I'm not saying I do this because I tend to react to these things quite quickly, but ideally you would get a bit of feedback and you would sit on it for a wee while.
To give you a chance to think, so that you're thinking now about receiving it, so what did they mean? Can I see how I could add to what I've done in this way, that way? Which I guess connects with what you've often talked about, where how much we can, it, certainly in DS106, we can learn, and we can learn by the kind of riffing and mashing, you know, the sort of when you kind of take something that somebody's done and you do something else with it and you do something else with it, in a way that's a way to say, well, actually I like this enough that I want to do something with it, but you're also offering some feedback by saying, oh, how about this? Because you've made it a bit different. And there was an example this week with one of your GIFs, wasn't there? Maybe we could tell people about that.
Yeah, well, I think all the people are in the room just about. So that was really what I was thinking about when I was writing that wee note. I haven't been doing very many daily creates, but the one Was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? I can't remember because the days are different here than they are in America, where the Daily Crate kicks off. So quite often you can sneakily catch up at night, if you know what I mean. So you can look and see what other people have done and see the possibilities. And the one I had actually seen in the morning was this one. It was Get Your Mozart On, Compose an Imaginary Musical. And there was those five lines with the squiggly things on.
Oh no, Viv and David will be out. We'll be shocked that we don't know, and I can't help you because I don't. Well, it's
Steve. I don't know.
Go on anyway.
Anyway.
They'll tell us in a minute.
So I had no ideas for that, so I left it, and later on I looked back at it, and I was just looking at it, and I suddenly thought it's a wee bit like, you know, an arrow string or something, and you could ping this. And my original idea was to take a line of musical, you know, those note things, and make a gif of it pulling it back, and then letting it go, and all the wee notes would shoot off the top of the page. And I started that, but it was about 10 o'clock at night, so it was quite late, and I was watching the telly at the same time, and things took a while, and I didn't get very far, but I got a wee bounce, so they all bounced off, which looked quite nice, I thought, I'll just fire that up, and immediately one or two people picked it up, and Todd Conway came back, and he incorporated something he'd done earlier, which was a wee unicorn bouncing along the notes on another gif, and added it into that, and then Ron pinged off another gif of an elephant on trampoline, which I still think would go quite well if somebody incorporated that. And then yesterday, the day afterwards, I think it was yesterday, Viv popped in with a YouTube video, which is just lovely because she's got, I'm guessing, a discordant tune going along with this gif bouncing up and down, but at the end it gloriously, the notes all sort of fall off and fall to the ground, and it's quite super.
Yes.
And that sort of feedback, I think the feedback is that was a good idea.
And we're interested to do something with it, isn't it? I mean, Jap is just saying, you know, it's encouraging words feedback. I guess I am a bit, you know, I feel that this word feedback is a little overused. You know, I spent my life throwing it around. Mm-hmm. And when I see that, I translate in my head, it's just information. It's information that it should be anyway, just information that you get, you know, about what you do. And what you do with that, well, it's up to you. So, you know, an encouraging word can be feedback if you're kind of thinking, oh my God, I'm not sure and I might never do this again. And somebody says, you know, that's all right, keep going. Mm. Well, that helps, doesn't it? And it's information that you use to help you keep going. And and that's that wee story with the GIF that then goes and grows and develops and turns, you know, from one GIF to many to a video to, you know, it tells you something. It tells you, actually, you hit on something that people are interested to do something with. And that's a lovely thing. Mm-hmm. The music played was actually the notes. Oh, I see. Viv is saying the music that they played in the video was actually the notes on the GIF.
Yeah, and we're finding this is just all learning here tonight. I found it was a stave, and the note things are crotchets.
Yep,
I'm not
there you
sure
go.
If Dave's stave bit,
and crotchets.
If Dave's been a bit crotchety about that. Yeah, that's really nice. I think actually, and I didn't credit it, but I suspect that the stave is ripped out of a Wikipedia picture of a section of the Chinese national anthem or something like that. So, just as a side note, you may have been spreading the good word, Viv, about the next revolution. Who knows?
that's what happens when, you know, like we go, oh, well, it doesn't matter. I don't really know anything about music, but I'll just take this bit. This looks pretty. I'll put it here. And you have no idea. A bit like when, you know, when people do tattoos of, you know, the Chinese character for the, you know, for carriage. And it turns out the Chinese character for soup. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and if you speak Chinese, that's the point, not to give them straight feedback, I think. Take that in gently. Explain that it's very tasty soup, and maybe you can get that extra wee bit added on that would make it something nice. The other thing I mean, we talk about in my level of education a lot about formative instead of summative assessment, I suppose. The idea that assessment isn't much use at the end of something. Because, you know, that's it. You need assessment that's going to be something that can help you move you on a wee bit and learn something from. And I'm just wondering if that feeds very much into the ethos of DS106 and narrate your work, explain what you're doing. And unfortunately, I guess most of the time we're explaining what we're doing when we think we've got something finished. But there are situations, especially in collaborative spaces, where we do have this possibility of, you know, feeding back so that somebody has the time to improve. And I'm thinking especially of the radio shows that we've done, where a group of people who are in different places in the world very often work together to put some audio together, which becomes a radio show, which can be amusing or serious or, you know, whatever. Very often a story. And what I think is really nice is if they have a chance, you have a chance to, you know, because people tend to upload stuff to, say, Dropbox, but it doesn't matter, and work in a Google Doc. And as people upload things, or an email list or whatever, they can get feedback. And I think that is really very valuable, you know, both technically and from a storytelling point of view, because people put together a sort of beta version, I guess, and get feedback. And people come back and say, well, yeah, that's very nice, but, you know, it's a bit quiet. You need to boost that, or you need to do this or that, you know.
And we tend to do that quite a lot and very, very easily, really, when we are, you know, when you're working on something. And I guess that when we've talked about that in the past, it's often been in relation to we all kind of pull together to make the best thing possible. So the end result, so that the end result is as good as it can be. And I guess then put our egos out of the way, and when somebody makes a suggestion, we just take it on board and we work with it. And that, I guess, is the best way of working with, you know, with feedback. I guess it's this idea of, you know, you get the feedback and then you improve, because you have the opportunity until you've got your deadline, as it were, which. It also, as you were reminding us of the radio shows that we do in the formal setting, I was also reminded we kind of do that each week when we do a show like this one, because don't we use Twitter in many ways to say, you know, if I twiddle this thing, if I push this button, can you hear me okay? Can you hear both? And there is often a kind of that initial thing at the beginning of a show where people go, oh, it's too low, you know, the volume, or it's too echoey, put it up, or, you know, or I go, can anybody hear anything? Because we don't know if we are, you know, if you can, and people come back and they tell you. And I guess that's the thing where you're doing it in a timely fashion, so we do something about it and then it works.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not all of education works like that.
Yeah.
Discuss.
Yeah, but, well, I think that's quite hard and to do with time and all the rest of it, but certainly in that sort of what I would call formative assessment is very much encouraged in primary education, and particularly in Scotland now. It's the idea that, you know, we don't worry too much about the the summative thing in the end and handing out points is what you're trying to do, is give feedback during, so that the learner can pick up and fix it before it gets to the end. I guess that's a good idea, and I wonder if that could be increased by possibly, you know, if you were doing, I'm just talking my head in this, some sort of, you know, DS106 assignment type thing, if you publish early and publish often, so you start a post when you're building something, you put some information in, you publish that, and then you work a bit more on it and publish it again, and you would get feedback along the way, perhaps.
Which I guess we do sometimes with the artifacts, don't we? I know certainly at the start I would, you know, put something up. I'm always in this situation. I'm always reminded of my first cinemagraph that took, you know, more days than I care to remember. And I kept posting things on Google Plus going, this is the crappy thing, you know, that I've just done. It's not working. What can I do? And what can I do? And eventually, after days of people giving me advice and making suggestions, I managed to produce my first cinemagraph in a much, 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 much more difficult way than, you know, than it needed to be. But because it was my first one, I was only trying things out. But it is that sort of process, isn't it?
So maybe there's in this assessment thing, you know, we would say we're not going to talk about how hard it is, but maybe part of the process of making it easy is for folk to ask to be assessed. You know, to say, what do you think? You know, there's maybe a responsibility on, because I mean, in this situation we're talking about adult learners, there's maybe a responsibility on, you know, to take responsibility for your own learning and to say, this is for, so how far I've got. How do I make this better, or I want to do this, how do I do this? Because that usually gets a response, in my experience.
What's interesting, as we're talking about it, and I'm thinking about the different platforms, I'm thinking how we may not tend to do that in the context of writing a blog, as you say, and then doing different versions. And sometimes, say, on Twitter, we might ask for something very specific, like, you know, what tool can I use to do this? But I do think that the Google Plus platform does lend itself more easily for that back and forth and, you know, suggestions. We seem to do that on the Google Plus platform more than we do in others, which is interesting, because I'm kind of very interested now in, you know, how does the platform affect conversation and interaction, and I think it affects it quite a lot. I might not want to publish something on my blog that, you know, like my first cinemagraph with, you know, the eyes were going all over the place except where I wanted them to go. But I was okay to publish it in the Google Plus thing to say, this is work in progress, help me out. Which is interesting how how we perceive the different platforms and what they afford in relation to what we want to do, I guess.
Yeah.
A bigger conversation.
No, I think that's really, I mean, I think compared to, say, Twitter, which is, you know, the same sort of short messaging system, but things tend to get lost in the stream. In Google Plus, and I've always been a Google Plus naysayer, so this is coming with some amount of pain. You know, that idea of having, you know, small sections which hold all the comments about that, you know, you start a topic and it gets a wee set of help, and the fact that the layout gives you a view of, you know, the most recent conversations grouped together as opposed to the most recent just utterances. I think that's why that becomes useful.
Because I do think that in a way, because if you think about the Google Plus community, we don't tend to use it too much when it is just, you know, in between, when we are just doing daily creates and things like that. We tend to use it much more when we are actually doing the run of, you know, ADS 106, because then we're kind of, you know, going through assignments and various things, and you kind of then use it in that way. And often I would say sometimes, you know, encourage people to use it in that way, because it does lend, it seems to lend itself quite easily and nicely for that. So, yeah, it is interesting, isn't it, what we use the different platforms for.
Yeah, we can get a Ford and Spingo in there again as well, which is good. don't quite like to pass a week without getting the affordance word in. the other post from the notes this week is one on scripting.com by Dave Weiner, which was shared quite widely over the internet.
Was this week, wasn't it? Published
yeah.
This
week? And what's interesting, I mean, I kind of follow Dave Weiner and I've dug into a few of his more recent experiments because he's still producing software. And I'm saying still because this is one of the very first, if not the first bloggers, first podcasters on the internet who, you know, helped build the RSS standard and all sorts of other important things. And he's still writing about how we should behave on the internet. And he published a short sort of 12-point post called "What Do Nice Internet Users Do?" Which is rather nice.
And aligned with our being positive this week.
Yeah, well,
I must say it is a beautiful, beautiful post. Yeah. Go on.
So they comment on other people's posts. They like other people's posts. They share them. They don't always talk about themselves. They have kind words for other people. They help other people without expecting anything in return. Even so, they reciprocate when people help them out. They add positive energy to the net. They always try to see things from other people's point of view. They genuinely listen. They stand up for people who are being hunted, and they read posts before responding to them. And most of those are really simple, and they're common sense. The read posts before they respond to them, I think, is really interesting, because the like culture can, and the retweet culture, you can
yes,
see.
I was going to say, before they respond or before they retweet, you must read this, I haven't read it.
Yeah. And it always makes me wonder. I remember seeing Alan, who hopefully is listening here, tweeting to somebody, you know, thanks for the retweet, that was really quick. You must be a speed reader or something with this, because it came back. And I think the guy got back and said, yeah, I can read really fast. But
but what else would he say, right?
Yeah,
I didn't read it. I was just trying to impress you.
Yeah, well, I've talked to this with a colleague of mine who is a, you know, sustained retweeter. He just retweets like mad. And I've said to him, you know, he's like, about this, and he just says, well, I retweet people I know and I like and I trust, and I'm just, you know, spreading the word there. So I suppose that's the alternative view about that.
Well, I suppose that is just highlighting, the kind of how people see the norms of a given, you know, of a given platform. I guess, you know, if you're seeing it as it is about building relationships or maintaining relationships, then what I might say I don't have time to read this now, but it would be great, you know, if John gets many people to read this stuff, so I'll just retweet it. Or, you know, people might have the norm, I never retweet something unless I've read it, which is, I guess, what, what Dave is suggesting here. He's suggesting it more directly in terms of the responding to a post. And I guess that's aimed at, often, you know, sometimes you get people that don't even read what you've written, but they have their kind of standard responses, which generally are about, you know, can I just post 5 links of the amazing things I have said about this topic, even though I haven't taken any time to read what you said, because really they are using the comments in order to advertise themselves. I think that's what his point is aimed to much more. I mean, they are very, very simple, but clearly, you know, they are very simple, coming from a profound understanding of what makes high quality conversation online, and that's what I find, you know, just wonderful. You know, I read them and read them again, and I think if I'd said any of these things, I would have taken, you know, many, many pages to say them, and much, much jargon. So that's what, to me, makes this absolutely beautiful. The fact that, you know, these are 12 points that you could give anybody.
Yeah.
And they would be able to do, you know, to your kids, you could give them to your kids. Yeah. And they would be able to use them. I think it is one of the best things I've seen in a long time in connection with this topic. You know, so many people disappear up their backside, me included, when you start to talk about high quality dialogue, that this really was a wonderful thing to see.
It kind of reminds me of a tweet I saw somewhere about something about Dave Weiner. It says Dave Weiner is always right if you wait long enough. And he has been around a long time, and there's, I think, quite a few older heads on the internet that are maybe getting lost now, that we really, and stuff that people who sign up online just breeze right past and don't think about the sort of lessons that earlier explorers of the internet learned, you know, in their excitement or whatever. And I think they're always worth listening to and reviewing and stuff, the old things.
Because it's kind of distilled from experience and from a real understanding of the medium, which you know, I think is what makes it valuable. I would say. So, how are we doing? Are we over? We're over time, John. What are we going to do?
Well,
you think that the gods of the S106 will be angry at us because we've run over?
I'm sure that they'll be highly delighted. if you're talking about the half hour mark, Mariana, I think I can check every MP3 we've published and give you a graph of how much over we were, and I don't think there's many in negative numbers. But I think that's been hopefully interesting and useful for folk. I think it's worth revisiting this topic. I've learned a lot talking about it. I've learned what a stave is and a crotchet, and, you know, maybe to appreciate Google Plus or the, you know, the affordances of that, which is a good thing.
And, you know, David was saying, you know, I don't know how long Google Plus will last. And I guess if Google Plus wasn't there, I suppose the point would be that we would find another platform that would allow a similar kind of thing, to make it easier to do that, you know, to do that sort of ongoing feedback. The other thing that I keep relearning when we talk about feedback in the context of the S106 is that it is so much easier to offer feedback when we are making stuff together.
Yeah.
And that and by that I don't just mean the, you know, kind of officially the students versus the, you know, the teachers kind of thing, but all of us. I think that is such a key thing that makes all that we do so much easier at the S106, because if somebody sets an assignment, they do it. If somebody sends submits a DS10 a daily create, they do it. And so there is that thing, and you can see an example, and you work from there, and you improve from there. And I think having the artifacts makes a huge difference to what we can do to offer quality feedback. That's what I.
So I guess that's maybe, you know, the teacher becomes a learner as well. And it's a community of learners rather than, you know, a leader.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Teacher-pupil relationship that changes to a sort of, I say, a community of learners would do fine, I think, for that.
But even if you had, but even if you did have, for whatever reason, you had to have a, you know, a sort of separation of roles, I still would say that having the artifact, having the tangible thing, this is what I did, what do you think, is so much, you know, in the moment, and with, as you were saying earlier, sometimes with the ability to improve on it, make it better, etc., before you're done with it, that I think makes our life a lot easier in the S106 than certainly in my context for other subjects. You know, it where you don't have that tangible thing in the same way. So it's harder, I think, to give people ongoing. So I will find myself saying to people, I can't really give you any more feedback until you've written something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
So just on a by the by, and I think we mentioned last week that we'd pay attention and see what was going on in DS106 land, and there's a few courses going, but I haven't really... But I did sign up for something you suggested last week in Edinburgh University, which is running 23 Things.
Yeah.
Which seems to be a course about learning about the internet and online stuff in general. So I signed up for that. It's at... Oh. 23 Things, yeah. So it's at... 23things.ed.ac.uk, and it feels a wee bit like DS106 because they're aggregating blogs. There are 23 things to learn about, so it's maybe not as quite as complicated or heady, but
they have the hashtag is hashtag 23 things, 23 number, and on Twitter, so then people can follow if they wanted to. It seemed like a really nice thing for people who are maybe starting out, because it seems manageable. They seem small enough that you could do it, and it seems to be very nicely organized.
And it goes through a lot of, I mean, there's quite a lot of things that I'm reasonably familiar with, you know, blogging and Twitter and the likes. Might skip the Facebook look. There's stuff about OneNote class notebook. There's stuff about LinkedIn and augmented and virtual reality, which is becoming slightly more interesting. I'm hoping to get into a wee bit of that at school. This session. So I think there's enough in there for me to find new, maybe not all 23 things, but hopefully some of them will be new to me and some of them will be interesting, and we don't actually need to finish it all as usual.
And look, Kathy's listening to us. Hello, Kathy, because we've not had her listening for a while because she's been busy with her new home. Yeah. I hope her new home is all sorted by now and looking wonderful. Lovely to see her tweet. Look, she says, love to listen, good topic, quality feedback, and excellent quality broadcast today. Whoa, get you, John. Excellent quality broadcast with background music and all.
Yeah, well, so maybe we'll start playing out and just head for the hills now. So I'll carefully just start fading in, Viv, and we can, Marianne and I, in a minute or two, we'll sit in relative silence.
Having said the S106 radio for life.
For life, yeah. And we can say it in a nice, relaxed and calm manner. I think maybe I'm going to play this sort of stuff behind me usually, because it slows me down.
You sound lovely. It's mellow with the music there. Yeah. It's very soothing.
We get less frenetic and less for life, as in for life. Take it away, Viv.
Bye-bye.
Bell Jap, it's from Viv. It's on SoundCloud called Long Ago.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we'll say good night and I'll hang up the phone. Thanks for listening, folks. Cheers.